We're continuing with the Siddur Avodah, the Rosh, Daf Peites Amud Aleph, the first page in the Rosh on Yuma. And we're holding in the second paragraph, 2, 4, 6, 7 lines down, where it says Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis in parentheses. V'imayazakenu istenis, shako yamaziklo. If the Kohen Gadol was an elder or a finicky person who could be harmed physically, could be harmed medically by going to a cold mikvah, so then mechamin lochamin me'erev Yom HaKippurim, they'd prepare hot water for him on Erev Yom Kippur, u'matinin etoch atzonen, and they'd pour it into the mikvah to heat up the mikvah for him on Yom Kippur. Or hayum chamin chatichot shel barzel me'etmol, or what another way they would do it is they'd heat up pieces of metal before Yom Kippur, v'notnin otan hayom b'mayim lechamiman, and then they'd take these boiling hot pieces of metal out of the fire, and they'd put them inside the water on Yom Kippur, and that would heat up the water on Yom Kippur. Ve'av al pi shu mitzaref, and even though technically when you take a boiling hot piece of metal from the fire and put it in cold water, so then you're cauterizing it. You're cauterizing it. That's how you make metal extra strong by taking it from boiling hot into cold.
You mean it wasn't solid metal?
Even so, it still makes it stronger. V'asu mishum akebe patish, and technically that should be prohibited because that's shugmar melechet abarzel. That's the way you finish off any metal instrument. Lechatcho kevan she'eino mitkaven lekach, being that that's not their intent. They're not putting these pieces of metal to make them any stronger. They're putting them in to heat up the water. So then, eino ela mishum shvot, then it's a davar sheino miskaven, it's only prohibited rabbinically, ven shvot b'mikdash. And in the temple, there is no, the rabbinic prohibitions are not applicable whenever they come in conflict with the service of the temple.
Isn't there boiling water also a problem?
Seems not. No, they did this on Yom Tov. I don't know why not.
They're not boiling the mikvah water, they're just easy.
Yeah, but there are those drops that he's going to touch, that the first drops it's going to touch are going to evaporate. He's going to be boiling, they're going to be boiling drops.
Is
I don't
Yom
know.
Kippur service?
Yeah.
But it doesn't count anyways, right? There's no such thing as forbidden. Everything can be done by the...
Well, this is just to heat up the mikvah so he doesn't get sick. This is, I guess, again, it's eino miskaven. They don't mean to boil the water. They're not interested in what's getting boiled. They're interested in general warming of the water. Maybe. V'achar kach shachat et ha-tamid v'kibel gamu et tamo v'kumer kol avodot kesed kol hayamim v'vigdei zahav im ha-ktoret sheba'ichal hatavat hanirot u'milchat chavitin. And then he'd slaughter the tamid, the morning sacrifice, and just after he'd finished slaughtering the minimum, so he'd quickly grab the vessel to do Kabbalah, to receive the blood, and he'd finish all the service of the tamid the way he'd do every other day, wearing his Kohen Gadol clothing. And then he'd bring the ktores, the regular daily ktores that they'd bring every day, and he'd prepare the candles like they did every morning, together with the ktores. They'd also prepare the lamp, the menorah. And he'd bring his daily sacrifice that the Kohen Gadol brought every day of the year, the minchat chavitin. Achar kach ba lebet ha-parva, b'yam kom kadosh. Now he's going to start the service of Yom Kippur. He did the morning service of the temple. Now we're going to proceed to the service of Yom Kippur. So the service of Yom Kippur, once he's going to enter the Holy of Holies, he wears white clothing. He has to change clothing. So he's going to go to the mikvah. He's going to go to the mikvah. This time the mikvah is in Beit HaParva, is in a holy part of the a holy chamber in the temple. V'aya b'mkom kadosh, u'pirsu sadin shel butz b'ino levenam. Again, they spread out this white blanket between him and the people. V'kidesh yadav v'raglav, he'd sanctify his hands and feet. Lefi shepashat b'gdei kodesh, because he removed the holy gold clothing, the holy Kohen Gadol clothing. So we said when you remove holy clothing, right afterwards he'd sanctify his hands and feet. V'taval, then he'd go down to the mikvah. V'alav v'nistapag, he'd come out and dry himself. V'lavash b'gdei levan, he'd wear the white clothing with which he'd do the service of the Yom Kippur. Shavin Yudchet Maneo Yoter. The morning service in the Holy of Holies was done in white clothing that were worth at least 1,800 coins. That's the value. 18 maneh is 100 coins. 1,800 maneh. 18 maneh or yoter or more. Or pachot or less. Rak shayu tovim yoter meotam shlevash berev. The idea was that he had two sets of white clothing and the better one was used for the morning service. Usually they'd end up being a value, a total sum of 30, where they'd make the morning one approximately 18 maneh, and the evening one approximately 12 maneh. Sometimes the Kohen Gadol was extra wealthy, and he'd send out to Egypt and bring himself the finest material. The Gemara even says one time the Kohen Gadol brought material that was so fine that they could see through the material, and the Kohanim all said, "Yeah, it looks like you're going naked, you can't use that." It was so fine that they could actually see through it. That Kohen Gadol sometimes, if he was super wealthy, he'd want to invest his own money. He could make them even more expensive. Uven shnehem yeshnehem liot shavim lamed maneh. The sum total of the two should be 30 maneh. V'im yirtze losif b'shel boker tfeim yudchet maneh v'ligoab shel erv miyudbet maneh o yipra or shud piyado. If he wants to add a little bit in the morning one or detract a little bit in the evening one or add in the evening one, he could. Rak sheyesh shel boker tovim yoter. The only thing is, the morning ones have to be superior to the evening ones. V'yeh ben shneim lam maneh. And the total value has to be 30 maneh, says the Rash. V'ilu yesh lo mishel tzibu. That's what the public would fund. Av lim yirtzeh losif mishelo, yosif kmo sheyirtzeh. We said he could add as much money of his own wealth as he'd like. Kidesh yedav raglav. We said he'd sanctify his hands and feet after donning the white clothing. Uvalo etzel paro. And then he'd come to his cow. Remember the cow that's going to be offered as an atonement for the sins of the Kohanim. Him, his family, and all the Kohanim. Vayaomed bekern tzfonit maravit shel hamizbeach. When he'd slaughter the cow, he'd take it to the northwest side of the altar. Ba'avir sheben olam v'la mizbeach. We have levels of holiness in the temple. One of the higher levels of holiness is ben olam v'la mizbeach. You have the Ulam, the Heichal, the Holy of Holies. So, let's see it in a map. Yeah, you guys want to see a map? Let me show you a map. You'll understand better what I'm talking about. One second.
Well, Rabbeinu Asher, what was he?
The Rush.
The Rush?
The Rush, yeah. Rabbi, the disciple of Maram in Rutenberg, father Rishonin. Of the tour. Okay, one second. Let's get a map.
Rabbi, can I tell you something, a little funny thing?
You could, but let's try to stay on topic now, okay? Okay. So, the Kodesh is also known as the Heichal. This is the Ulam. And you have the steps that lead up to the Ulam. And here's the Mizbeach. I'm holding it upside down. This is north. Okay? So, remember you're in the Beit HaMikdash, you go, get holier as you go westward. So, Mizbeach. Ben Olam La Mizbeach. Only Kohanim could go and only in service. This was a holy area. This was only Kohanim could enter here and only if they were doing service. So they take the cow, we said, to where? They take the cow northwest. So northwest, opposite. He has to have it facing the Holy of Holies. So here's the Holy of Holies. Here's the Heichal, entrance to the Heichal, Ulam, steps leading up to the Ulam. Okay? So Bein Ulam v'la Mizbeach. Between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, over here in the northwest corner, he's going to have the cow. He's holding the cow. Now let's see what he does with that.
Sorry, so all the people, where were they standing?
Out here.
Out there. So where were they?
In the Ezra's Nashim.
But they're always saying they're spreading a cloth between.
Okay,
the
say
so
there.
They can't see.
So some say, well, right. So first of all, they could see through here, and if the Gemara, I think, says they could be up to here.
Okay, but he's in the. Where was he doing this?
He's here. The mikveh was on a. We didn't go into it. The base of Parva was really on a higher floor.
So they don't see the.
They could see into that higher floor.
Through the windows.
It seems it was an open higher floor because it had a mikveh in there.
Oh, because they need an open roof.
Okay, you want to know where Beis HaParva is? I don't remember exactly. Give me 1 second. I think it's right there. Wait. Okay, I don't think we should spend the time on that right now. So you have over here was the first Beit HaTvila. Beit HaParva was somewhere here. Give me 1 second. I can't find it here. I think it was there. Here. Over here is Beit HaParva. Up here.
They could really see
him, yeah.
So why is that a holier place?
They made it when they built it. They could sanctify what would be sanctified and what wouldn't. That they sanctified and that they didn't. Yeah, but now we can't do Nidos. Learn Nidos.
You're interested, take the map at the end of
the Nidos. Look, the very show explains each one, what they were used for. Back to our, back to the Rush. Vayomid bekern tzvonit mi ma'aravit shem nizbech ba'avir shmen olam la mizbech. Lo k'neged ha'mizbech ma'amash en ha'mashuch v'tzad tzafon. He wouldn't stand exactly in between him and the Mizbech. He'd stand slightly to the north of the Mizbech, northwest of the Mizbech. Vayu okmim rosh shapar Sheba Rosho Letzad Darom Upanav Le Ma'arav. So let's finish the sentence, then we'll understand better. V'lo yuma midinto lehedi Rosho Le Ma'arav Achav Le Mizrach Shem Arivat Zalim Ze Egnai Le Mizbeach. We have a situation like this. Technically, it says the cow should be facing the Holy of Holies when you designate it, because it's designated for the Holy of Holies. But if you have the cow facing the Holy of Holies, its back would be towards the Mizbeach. And you can't control when the cow is going to do its duties. So they didn't want that. So because it wouldn't be respectful if it would relieve itself opposite the Mizbech. So what they did was, they'd have the cow standing with its head to the south and its back to the north. And then they'd tilt its head to face the Holy of Holies. So that way its back wasn't facing the altar. Its back was facing the north, and its head should have been facing south, but they turned its head around to face the Holy of Holies. So that's that was the compromise. V'akoyen omed b'mizrach, so the Kohen would stand behind the cow, east of the cow, with his back to the altar, and he also was facing the Holy of Holies, facing westward. Ufanav lemarav, v'somech shtei adav alav, and then he put his two hands on the cow, mitvadeh, and he would confess on behalf of all of Israel, on behalf first of himself and his family. V'kach haya omer, this is what he'd say in his confession. Ana Hashem. Here you see in the Mishnayos the term Hashem. But Hashem over here means the tetragrammaton, and not even the tetragrammaton, means the hidden name, which is much more than the tetragrammaton. Chatati aviti pashati, I have sinned mistakenly, willfully, and rebelliously. Ani ubeiti, me and my family. kachachamim, meaning there's a machlokus what the order would be. This is the opinion of chachamim, and this is how we rule. Vidui rishona lo haya mitvadei el alav ubnei beto. The first confession that he makes on this cow was on behalf of himself and his family. Ana Hashem, please, Hashem, kaper na lavanot lapshim lachataim, please forgive the sins we did on mistake and on purpose and rebelliously. Me and my family, shal mi yesh baskat Hashem, shniya bavidui yaomer, ana vashem babet. There are two versions here. The Jerusalem Talmud says that originally he'd say, ana Hashem chatati aviti pashati. And then he'd say, when he'd ask for forgiveness, he'd say, first, please Hashem, I sinned. Please Hashem, forgive the sins that we did. The second time that he'd say, please Hashem, he would say, please in your holy name, forgive the sins. And that's why the Jerusalem Talmud says that the second time he says, ana Bashem, in the name of your holy name, forgive the sins that me and my family did, my mistake, etc. And that's why different machzorim have different versions as well. The Babylonian Talmud says ana Hashem twice, and the Jerusalem Talmud says ana Bashem the second time. Now, we are going to learn that he's going to come back to this cow and confess on behalf of all the Kohanim, and then he's going to make an identical confession on behalf of all of Israel on the goat. And the idea is, first let him be clean. After he's taken care of himself, he takes care of the Kohanim. After the Kohanim, he takes care of all of Israel, as we will see. And I think we have to pause here. We're out of time.